Welcome to a special bonus episode of the Fast Forward podcast, powered by FutureWorld. My name is Nomvula Omarowai. This week's episode is called The Power Pause. The Power Pause is about the conscious act of creating space before moving forward, to gain clarity, perspective, and calm in a world that constantly asks us to move faster. This episode takes a quick pause from our usual programming, a moment to breathe, reflect, and recharge. This concept began as a Women's Month initiative at FutureWorld. During this initiative, we published an insights piece and hosted an event where Ms. Claire Mawisa shared her story and reflections on embracing the power pause, a reminder of the strength, wisdom, and influence that can be found in stillness. In this episode, we share the power pause. Our hope is that it stirs something in you too, in your own way. You can also read our article linked in the show notes. Let's take a moment and press pause.
Hi, everyone. I hope you're all enjoying your meal. I'm sure you were thinking, oh my goodness, I just finished that meze. Is this now seriously another dish in front of me? So as you're settling in, we also thought we'll give you some food for thought. So we have Claire Mawisa here today, and it's my great honor to introduce her. So I've heard some people asking, who is this lady? So if she looks familiar, you might know her from some TV programs. And of course, Carte Blanche, which is my favorite. So today she's not here to let us know that it's the end of the weekend. But she's gonna tell a bit more about her story, so I'm not gonna make a long, lengthy intro. And Claire, we love having you. Thanks for being here.
What if it is the end of the weekend? I'm not here to ask any tough questions, ladies. Good morning, everyone. And thank you so much. I mean, you guys look gorgeous, prettier than the flowers on the table. I'd like to just thank FutureWorld for inviting me here today to this gorgeous brunch. And I don't know if they told you, this area, this space that we're in, this is the very first event that they're having with you. Isn't that fabulous? I thought that was absolutely fabulous. That's why the serving staff are panicking a little bit and making sure you guys have a great time. Anyway, I was invited by FutureWorld to come and share my story on how I learned a lesson. And I know that everyone sitting here today has their own story, how they learned the same lesson. So for me, 7 plus 2 is 9. For you, 6 plus 3 is 9. 5 plus 4 is 9. But we all get there in the end. And my intention in sharing my story today is hopefully it will trigger a memory on how, on what your story was in learning the lesson. Are we together? And so hopefully at the end of my little chat and after I've shared my story, you are more than welcome to ask me a few questions. And I'd also love to hear some of your stories on how you learned the same lesson, what your 8 plus 1 is. As Sue-Ann so kindly said, yes, you might recognize me from Carte Blanche, but in prehistoric times when dinosaurs still roamed the planet, I used to model. Very long time ago, and that's how I got into TV presenting, and most people know me from there, and I joined TV presenting in 1999, but what people don't know is that I started my radio career at the same time that I started my TV career. People don't know that. I joined YFM in 1999, like a month after I started TV presenting, and I knew nothing about radio. And I joined the breakfast team at YFM in 1999 as the entertainment celebrity news girl. Because at that time, we didn't have social media, so, and the Kardashians didn't Kardashian yet, so it was very important for me to tell you what was going on. And let me tell you, I was on only for like 2 minutes a day, but it was the best 2 minutes of my life, because as soon as I was in that studio, in that environment, I fell in love. It was the magic of broadcasting. I was absolutely enthralled by the music, the personalities, the sports stars, the personalities that were on air. Just being able to impact people immediately, I was captivated. And I loved radio so much more than I loved TV. And if I was at the bottom of the food chain, which I was in the radio world, the person who was at the top of the food chain is somebody we call a program manager. Now, the program manager in a radio station is a person that orchestrates all of those things that are happening, all those moving parts. They really are top of the food chain, head honcho. And so I love my time there. But you see, there were some negative comments that came while I was there. I remember there was a time just after a staff meeting, we were standing and hanging around. I was such an igabiva. And one of the very famous presenters said, he was standing right next to me, and he said, they hire anyone nowadays. They even get like former models to come on air. Can you believe? And I stood there. My spine turned to jelly, and I tried to act very tough. And there were whisperings that really they get anyone, because who is she anyway? And hurt my feelings absolutely, but it didn't deter me. I loved radio, and I thought to myself, you know, I'm going to learn everything there is to know about this place. I'm going to know everything. And that's how my career in radio began. And I left YFM, and I went to Metro FM, and I was at Metro FM for a few years, and I learned everything at Metro FM. I learned how to press all the buttons on the desk. I did graveyard shifts. I read the news when nobody could do it. I did every single thing, and I had a very supportive program manager who allowed me to learn every aspect of the business. And I went on to work and produce content for lots of other radio stations, Radio 2000, OFM, Algo FM, Heart FM. And I really was finding my place in the radio world, and I was carving my career, and I was loving every moment. And then in 2010, I got an incredible phone call. My dream radio station called me, and they were headhunting me. I know. I felt like that girl. And it was Kaya FM. And at that time, Kaya FM resonated with me, and I wanted to work there so badly, and I didn't know the way in. And who knew? Lo and behold, I get a phone call saying, Claire, we want you to come produce the biggest radio show on our station. And that was such an incredible honor. And so began my career at Kaya FM, and I worked harder in my time there than I'd ever worked in my entire life. I was at the office 7 days a week. I was at my desk at 4:30 a.m. My first team meeting in the morning was at 5 a.m. I left after sunset. I was there around the clock, because that's what radio is. And I had an incredible program manager who was my boss. I still believe he's one of the best program managers ever in South Africa. His name is Neil. And Neil took me under his wing, and he really helped me. And I grew in leaps and bounds. I'd never worked so hard in my life, but I was also being rewarded. My salary doubled. Hello. And also, when you work really hard in an organization, they reward you by giving you more responsibility. And I started moving up, and hey, life was looking great. And I remember I was in a management meeting, and I was sitting next to Neil, and Neil made the announcement, and he said he was going to table it for Exco, and he says, I'm going to leave this place in about a year or 2 years' time, and I want everyone to know that I want Claire to be the program manager at Kaya FM when I leave. Dream job, dream place, like life was aligning. And that was so wonderful, such a validation from somebody that I admired so much. And what people didn't know, though, was that even though from the outside my career trajectory was looking incredible and I was gaining the respect of my peers in the industry, what they didn't see was the stress. I'd never in my life been under so much stress because I wanted to do my job well. And when I was done with my job, I would help you with yours. And if you were done, I would find something else to do. And I was just trying to be everything to everyone to show them that I belong because, hello, imposter syndrome. And so I was under tremendous stress. I met a friend I didn't like called Anxiety. And I was anxious. I was hospitalized twice because I had panic attacks. And nobody at work knew the amount of stress I was going under. Also, because I was at the station 24/7, I was missing so much. Friends' birthdays, bridal showers, baby showers, weddings, girls' weekends away, family vacations. I was missing all of that because I had prioritized this thing that I was chasing. I had now 25 years in the game, and I was about to touch the dream. And so everyone just needed to understand I was sacrificing so much to get that. I remember I would drive in and I'd park in my parking bay in the mornings and I'd sit in the car for like 5 minutes, just breathing, just so that I was ready to go upstairs and put out the fires I needed to put out. And I remember I was sitting at my desk one day at 6:30, 7:30 in the evening, and once again, Neil and I were the only ones in the building. And I could see his desk from where I was sitting, and I looked at him and I watched that picture. And the picture was that he had his cell phone in his shoulder like this, he's on the phone. He had his landline on top like this. He had an unlit cigarette in his mouth, typing with one finger on a laptop, swearing at someone. And I watched that and I was like, is that what I'm chasing? Are those the forthcoming attractions? The next day, I handed in my resignation. Everyone was shocked, just like you are. No one was more shocked than me because I was this close to touching the dream. I was this close. And I don't even really know what overcame me. I didn't even know what motivated me. Death. I don't even know, but I handed in my resignation and I served my 30-day notice, and that was a daze for me. I don't even really remember what happened. And I remember my final day at Kaya FM was on a Friday. I drove home down Jan Smuts in tears. I could hardly see the road because I was sobbing. I could feel the physical ache. It felt like a breakup because I'd worked so long, so hard for this moment, and now I'm walking away, and I was starting to regret it. What had I just done? Was this a mistake? That was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday came around. There was no meeting to go to. There was no phone call to answer. There was no fire to put out, and it got really quiet really quickly. And suddenly, for the first time in a very long time, it was quiet. And the days got quieter and quieter. And I don't want you to think that quiet means peace. Because it was quiet, and I had space to think. But I was unsure, life was uncertain, I didn't know what the next step was. I was doubting myself, had I done the right thing? Oh my goodness, what's happening? Anxiety on 1,000. And I had lots and lots of questions. But if anyone here goes to therapy, they will know that it's so uncomfortable when your therapist calls you out on your nonsense. I needed to call myself out on my own nonsense. What had I done? What should I own in how I got to that situation? I couldn't blame the business. What do I own? And I realized on reflection, I had like 3 big nuggets that stuck out to me. Number one, I was doing all of that just to prove a point. I was working so hard, I was dedicating my life just to prove a point to that guy who I no longer even see at 1999 YFM after the staff meeting. And I was doing it to prove it to myself, right? That I could do it. That I wanted to shut everyone down and I didn't want anyone to doubt my credentials. That's why I was motivated. The second thing I realized also was that I was driven by ego. It was such an egocentric, driven life. I wanted the title. I wanted to be the first black female program manager on a commercial radio station. I wanted it. Because I knew it would impress people. That title was more seductive than Jason Momoa. I wanted the business card that said, Claire Mawisa, head of content, Kaya FM. I wanted the corner office. I wanted the parking bay with my name on it. I wanted it. But what looked good on the outside felt like rubbish on the inside. I was chasing it for what? For who? For people who didn't even know or care. And the final thing I realized during that time was that I didn't feel like I had a bit of a purpose anymore. I was just moving on autopilot, just doing what needed to be done. And so during that time when I didn't really have anything to do, people kept on asking, what are you going to do next? What job are you going to do? And I had no answers for people. And I was going through a dark time of reflection, admitting and owning my role in it. Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. I termed that time in my life fun employment, but there was no fun about it. I was telling everyone, I'm fun employed. And it was around that time that I thought to myself, I should actually go out to coffee with people, do things, see what I enjoy, because I had forgotten myself in the process, right? I didn't even know what I liked to do when I had free time. And suddenly I had hours and hours, 24 hours, 7 days a week of free time. And so I wrote articles for newspapers, and I stood in for presenters on radio shows. I did podcasts. And I remember one day, and I met people for coffee, and I remember one day I was leaving an office park, and I was in a parking lot walking towards my car, and I recognized a gentleman that I'd worked with about 20 years ago in TV. His name was George. And I saw George, and George saw me. He was like, Claire! And I was surprised he even remembered me. And George says, oh, it's so good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. Let's do coffee. And we know in Joburg, that means nothing. You know what I mean? Everyone is always doing coffee. And so I'm like, yeah, like internally, I rolled my eyes. I'm like, yeah, we should do coffee. And he says, give me your number. And I gave him my number and we parted ways. Lo and behold, the next morning, his PA calls me. Hi, Claire, this is Marie, George's PA. I just wanted to know whether you're available to do coffee day after tomorrow. Are you available?
Yes, I'm available.
I was shocked. Day after tomorrow comes, I go to George. In his office, very impressive man, very impressive building, and I go and I meet George for this coffee, and he sits behind his desk and he says, Claire, so tell me, I haven't seen you in about 20 years, what have you been up to? And I told George the story, the exact same story that I just told you about my radio career, 1999, YFM, Metro, all of it, Kaya FM, you know, all of it. And I even told him how I resigned, the whole shebang. And I said, you are meeting me, George, now in my fun employment. It's been a few months and I haven't done anything. But I was still a different person than when I had quit. I was clearer on my boundaries. I was braver in admitting when I was wrong. My values had aligned. And I told him all of this, just like I'm telling it to you now. And George sat there in his desk and he looked at me and he says, Claire, I love that story so much. I think you're the perfect person to join our team. That was George Mazarakis, executive producer of Carte Blanche. And that's how I joined Carte Blanche. And that was now 10 years ago. Can you believe? And I tell people all the time that one of the greatest things is that when Carte Blanche, possibly the greatest opportunity that had come my way, by the time it came with me ready. It came with me ready. I'd used that time, my little break, I'd used that time to heal, to grow, to learn the lessons. How did I get there? How do I not get there anymore? And I've learned in the last 10 years, one of the greatest things is that you need to learn how to carve out time for yourself, to check in with yourself, to find out if you are still on purpose. Is this still working for me? Why is this no longer working for me? Does this feel good? What else should I be doing? What is my real purpose? What's going on? Because you can actually only do that when you get still and quiet. and you're away from people and the noise and the influences of the world. Because oftentimes we do things because they look good, not necessarily because they feel good. And taking that time for different people means different things. For me, sometimes it's 30 minutes bubble bath. Sometimes it's a trip to Cape Town for the weekend. When my money's right, it will be 6 months in Positano. Right? But the break needs to happen on a regular basis because it allows you to realign. It allows you to move with clarity. And I know it feels so counterintuitive to say you become more productive after you've taken a break, but it's true. You're clearer. You're laser focused on your mission. You know what matters. You know what doesn't matter. It's so easy to move away from the noise once you've come back and you've realigned. I don't want anyone to quit their job. It's very reckless. It's what I did, but I know that I've told people, I know they're going to say, I listened to Claire and she quit her job and she like had a great opportunity. That's not the point. The point is to understand, ladies, that, you know, I think especially because we're women, sometimes we feel beholden to do more than we are supposed to do. We extend ourselves further than we're supposed to do. And we feel that it's indulgent to take a break. It's not indulgent, it's crucial. Because I took a break voluntarily. I believe it in my bones that had I not done it willingly, voluntarily, proactively, the break would have happened to me and it would have been a medical emergency. I can promise you that. So either you choose to take the pause or the pause will rain down on you like bricks. Sometimes it's a great, wonderful escape. Sometimes it's a tough moment where you are forged in the fire. I'm here just to hopefully remind you and to urge you to take that break because it was during that time that I learned the power of the pause. Thank you so much.